Well, good morning, Real Life Church. It's wonderful to be with you this morning for part two of our series on graves into gardens. And this morning, I want every heart to encounter God personally. And so what I'd love you to do right now as I just pray and commit God's word is just to put your hand on your heart or maybe raise your hand just to indicate, Lord, I'm willing to receive this morning. Yeah? All right. So, Father God, we just want you to know that we are willing to receive from you this morning. We want fresh impartation. We want new wine, new oil this morning from your word. And so we pray that every heart would be leaning in and listening to what you have to say and speak into their life, into their situation, into their challenge this morning. In Jesus' name. Well, it is a privilege to share with you Graves into Gardens Part 2. And for those of you who were not able to join us last week, you can catch that online. But we looked at the Valley of Dry Bones in the book of Ezekiel. And this was a vision that God gave to Ezekiel. And we applied it to our own lives for today, for our circumstance. And we challenge one another to declare and prophesy over those areas in our lives where there was dryness, where death had occurred, not physical death, but spiritual death and things that had happened in our lives that had caused us to shut down. And as I said, if you missed it, you can access that on our webpage and have a listen. I'd love to know how you applied that to your situation and with the challenges that you face. So if you're online this morning, why not join the chat and share your story, share your testimony with us. Well, Sunday we shared and spoke about Graves into Gardens. And on Tuesday I get this text from Far saying that two breakthrough miracles had happened in her family after Sunday's message. And so I want to invite her right now to come and share with us and tell us her story of what happened after you started prophesying and declaring that graves were going to turn into gardens in your life.
Okay. If you don't mind me reading, the actual scripture that touched me the most was verse 4, where it actually says, "Speak a prophetic message to these bones and say, dry bones, listen to the word of the Lord." And as I sat there, I asked, what is the word that God has given me to these bones? And what are even the bones? And then it says, "This is what the sovereign Lord says." And that gave me authority. That gave me authority to say, there's actually a word that has been spoken to me, and this is what the Lord says. So I went back home, and I had a situation. So for the past 5 years, Taps and I have been struggling to get full-time employment and permanent employment. So I get back home, and it's a Sunday, and I currently work in government, and I got an email. Who works on Sunday in government? But I got an email that said, congratulations, we have offered you, you are in the pool. So I was like, oh, okay, just being in the pool means I can shift around government, which was okay for me at that point. But God stood me up and said, no, that's not the word. What did I say? And I remember a couple of, at the beginning of the year, God had given other people here a message that he's going to take care of me. And I've been holding on to that. So immediately I went to Tabs and I said, well, have you listened? Because he didn't make it to church with the kids. Have you listened to Pastor Bethwyn? And he says, yes, I have. And I've spoken to my bones. And so he did. And he got an email as well. He had been offered a permanent job. And then on Tuesday, I get my email to say, you have a permanent job as well. Well, it gets better. It does get better. There is more. So on Wednesday, we get a message that both Tab's parents are critically ill with COVID. Had this miracle not happened, we could never afford to get treatment for them. So God had us covered. And we could make all the financial decisions we need to. And they're recovering, which is a good thing. We were able to make those extreme measures because God had us covered.
Wow. Fantastic. You that pass it down. Fantastic. Well, thank you, Far. That is just terrific. And Far, I think it's okay if I were to share also that this sets you up for you and Tats to be able to access getting your own home. Yeah? And so that's been a desire of their hearts now for many years. And because of this permanency, they're going to be able to work towards that. So how cool is God? Isn't that wonderful? I'm just so inspired by the way that he just loves to just bless his people. Well, in part one of our two-part series, I talked about bones and speaking to those dry bones. And I want to continue on with this whole area of our lives coming alive again. But this time, I want to talk in the context of our spiritual relationship with Jesus and the fulfillment of our God-given destinies. Now, I know that a lot of you know this, but some of you may not. So I want to just let you know and remind those of you who do that God has a plan for your life. And Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." And when you give your life to Jesus Christ, what happens is he sets off his purpose and his destiny for you in your life. Now, when I was in my teens and 20s, I was heavily involved in the youth group ministry in our church. And that spilled over into also being a part of the State Youth Alive team, of which Pastor David used to run for how many years, Pastor David? Many years. And then before him, Pastor John Warwick, his dad, also used to lead the Youth Alive movement, which was the state movement, all of the youth groups in the state, all the ACC churches coming together. And every Easter, we used to invite a very prominent guest speaker from over east, because at that stage it kind of felt like everything good comes from the east. And so we had this kind of perception. And it had all the different youth groups around the state coming together for this Easter camp. And they were absolutely wonderful times. And God did some really significant things in our lives through these Holy Spirit meetings. So this one Easter camp, Pastor Brian Houston, who some of you know is the leader of the Hillsong movement, he was the guest speaker. And I can distinctly remember at the end of one of these amazing, beautiful meetings that he called a whole group of youth leaders out the front. And as we stood there, he said this to us. He asked the question, "What would you like to accomplish for God in your lifetime?" Whoa, what a big question. And then he actually asked us and we said it out loud. And I can remember, even though it's a very long time ago now, I can remember saying this. "When I stand before God, I want to be able to say I did what you asked me to do. And I didn't miss it. I didn't miss my mark." You see, I didn't want to miss what God had in mind for my destiny as his daughter. I didn't want to be forever regretful that I got distracted, that I got complacent along the way, that I allowed myself to become bitter or to let disappointment kill and destroy what God had in mind for my life. I didn't want to be deterred from my God-given purpose. But can I be really brutally honest with you all this morning? At that point, I was probably in my, I don't know, maybe 23, 24 years of age. When I stood at that camp that night with absolute passion and zeal and sincerity for God in my heart. I had no idea what was ahead of me or how many times and seasons I would feel like I wanted to give up, because, you know, we often hear we're not supposed to go by our feelings, but God actually has given us feelings and He's wired us in that way. And so I, in those times, in those seasons, I would find myself coming back to the Word of God to ignite that flame within me and give me the stickability and the determination to keep going. And what I was able to do was I was able to prophesy to the dry bones of my life in that season to stay alive, to not die. And it was scriptures such as this one from 1 Corinthians 15 that helped me along my journey. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. You know, if you read that scripture quickly and with little thought, it can seem a simple command, but trying to live it out is a completely different thing, am I right? Anyone want to say amen? Amen. So, here we are. How do we reignite that fire, that flame in our life? Maybe you're a person sitting there today and you've been disillusioned. You've been in despair. You've been let down and disappointed. How do we now, in that position, prophesy those dreams from death and help them to spring back to life? Well, last Sunday, as I said, was all about dry bones coming back to life. But today, part two is all about smouldering embers sparking back up to full blazing fire. Yes, that's right. That's what it's about. It's about your fire. It's about my fire. And it's about burning brightly. You know, we all know, it's been said very often, that it only takes a spark to get a fire going again. And even though there may be ashes and burnt embers that represent your dreams and your passions, your vision that have been cooled, the Spirit of God is wanting this morning to reignite the sparks in each one of our lives. For those of you who may not be aware, the fire is the symbol of the Holy Spirit. And Hebrews 12:29 says, God is a consuming fire. I'm going to say that again. God is a consuming fire. But for us, what it means is that in order to keep our own personal spiritual fire burning, we need to be continually tapping into the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, fires do a lot of different things. They accomplish a lot of different things. They burn up impurities. They purify. Sometimes a fire can be small, but it brings warmth. But fires, like we've seen in Australia, you know, we as a country have seen many fires that have been completely out of control. They've been so massive, so huge, that they're almost, you know, impossible to actually put out. Well, our God is a consuming fire, and His Holy Spirit is a spirit of fire. And, you know, in order for us to keep the fire burning, we need to be accessing, tapping into, leaning into the gifts that He's given into all of our lives. 1 Thessalonians says, never restrain or put out the fire of the Holy Spirit. And in the Old Testament, in Leviticus, it says, the fire on the altar must be kept burning. It must not go out. Every morning, the priest is to add firewood and arrange the burnt offering on the fire and burn the fat of the fellowship offerings on it. The fire must be kept burning on the altar continuously. It must not go out. To keep the fire going, the priest had to be attentive. And what that required was, it required putting wood on it daily and making sure, checking on it, to make sure that it didn't go out. So this morning, I want to talk to you about the sort of wood that you need to keep putting on your fire. Are you ready?
Yes.
Are you ready to find out?
Yes.
Because firstly, what you need to do before we do anything else is a little spiritual inventory. And what that looks like is, do you have any mindsets, any hindrances that you may have allowed to creep in that are contrary to allowing the Holy Spirit to move in your life? Check yourself over. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you things about yourself and lift them to Him and say, Lord, you know I've got a bit of an issue with that, or you know I've got a bit of a problem with that. And say, I need you to work in my life. I need you to work in my heart. And allow Him to do that work right now in this room. So, I'm going to talk to you about the first log that you need to put on your fire this morning. Please welcome my assistant, Richard. He's going to be my fire keeper this morning. And take a bow, Richard. And so, the first log is, can you hold that up for me, please? Speak up, speak out. Can you say it? Speak up, speak out. And what I want to encourage you this morning to do is to make it a practice to use your mouth in the right way every day. Whoa. Think about some days that you have when things come out of our mouth that aren't really that faith-filled. Yeah? No one's looking. No one's looking. Despite how you are feeling, literally, this is the sort of wood that needs to go on your fire. You need to stand up in your office, in your home, in your shed, wherever is your place to connect with God, and start prophesying and declaring and decreeing over those areas that you are struggling in. And I want to get down and really practical this morning. For example, if you're having trouble with a personal relationship and you feel like it's broken down, maybe you're estranged from a family member, start declaring that the dry bones of your relationship will live again, that they'll come alive again and be healthy in Jesus' name. Amen? Why? Why is it? What's this whole thing with Christianity and speaking out with your mouth and declaring? Why is it so crucial to speak up and speak out? Because when you stand on God's promises, your ears, when you say it out loud, start to hear what your mouth is saying. And there is this spiritual release as God's truth is spoken out from inside of you. And your head and your heart start to believe again. Your faith starts to rise that His word is true and absolute, and you release the fire of the Holy Spirit that keeps your faith and belief alive. That's why there's so much reference to declaring and decreeing and to speaking out and speaking over your all of those things in your life. Yeah? Because God activates as we declare it, as we speak it, God activates something within us as we do that. So, number one, log number one, it's on the fire. Speak up and speak out. Log number two, thanks Richard, is thanksgiving. Give thanks. You know, almost always, when I sense that the fire has gone out and my personal passion has waned, it's because I've stopped being grateful, stopped thanking God for all the blessings I enjoy. And when we focus too much on what we don't have and what God is not giving us in that moment, right now, I want it now, we lose sight of the fact that God is always good, wonderfully good, in fact. That God is beautifully for us. Yeah? He is for us, not against us. And he will never forsake you. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, concerning me. Yeah? And trust that God's plans for your life is your best case scenario. And that you can trust him for every step. Every step. Yeah? It says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Amen? And in every season of your life, you can trust him. And he will get you safely home. Yeah? It's a guaranteed ride. You belong to him. Remember, remind yourself who you belong to. And as you think about that, as you meditate on that, you rise up and you re-engage your heart with his heart. Maybe this morning you've disengaged from the heart of God. But you belong to him. And he's not going anywhere. He says he'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's sticking to you like glue. Yeah? Okay, log number 3. This is a big ticket one. This is a big piece of wood that we need. And can you show that for us, Richard? No, it's no limitations. Okay, no limits. Access the working of the Holy Spirit in your life often. You cannot have a big fire in a little containment. I'm going to say that again. You cannot have a big fire in a little containment. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, enduring in troubles, continuing steadfastly in prayer. The Greek word for fervent is zeo, which means to boil with heat. And we, as Jesus followers, as disciples of Jesus, we have a mandate from God to keep our fire hot, no matter what the spiritual climate is around us, no matter what is happening. Yeah? So can I spur you on that one of the most effective ways that I have found to not contain the fire of God is to go way beyond your comfort zone in extravagant worship. You might say, well, Beth, I'm not really into that. Can I encourage you, make praise and worship a real sacrifice of your self-conscious, of your self-inhibitions. Oh, no, look, I just like to be a quiet worshipper. And God's saying to you this morning, would you let loose and be a little bit extravagant? Yeah? You know, it's as simple as this. Maybe you've never felt the liberty to raise your hands before the Lord in worship. And you might think, no, Bethwyn, you know, I'm not one of those people. But you know, if you're a little bit hesitant, but you kind of sometimes think, I'd really like to do that, really like to worship God in that way, start in your home. Do it privately. Yeah? And start to notice what happens when you do that, you know. And it says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are strong to the pulling down of strongholds. Our weapons, one of our weapons is praise, is worship. Extravagant, yeah? Start practicing, get that breakthrough, yeah? Get a breakthrough in that area. Once again, it comes back to what's coming out of our mouths. And please, and it points back at me, stop telling the Holy Spirit how he can operate in your life. Yeah. You can have that, God, but you can't have that. And I'll do that, but I won't do that. Do you know the Holy Spirit will not jump through the hoops you set up for him? You've got to give him full permission, abandonment to stretch and grow you. You could even walk on the wild side. Yeah? All right. Log number four, Richard. So we've giving thanks in extravagant worship. And log number four is invest in others. Do you realize that your fire is continually reignited when you serve others? Adrian, Pastor Ken, how do you feel on Wednesdays after you've packed those food bags and you've given into our community? Awesome. Yeah? How do you feel, Heather, when you've greeted people at the Red Top table on a Wednesday? Great. Yeah? You can be a vital instrument to turn the life of a person from a grave into a garden. You know, spiritual passion is ignited when it's been used to serve others. Start using your gifts, your God-given talents to help others. Don't let them be dormant. Don't contain them. Yeah? Now, you all know that I do pastoral care here. I've been here for 2 years. And just the very first week that I started here at the church, I was in Pastor David's office and he'd locked me in, so I didn't escape. No, not really. He hadn't locked me in. I was in Pastor David's office and a very beautiful young lady walked into his office. On this Wednesday of the very first week, I was very raw, was very new. And she had a patch, a bandage over one eye. And she had been abused and had a screwdriver poked in that eye. She was at that time addicted to meth and her life was very difficult and very broken. Over the last 2 years, I and many, many others of you in this room have walked the journey with Tegan. Steve, her wonderful partner, is up the back there with Charlie. And Steve and I go at least twice a week, don't we, Steve, to visit Tegan in Malaluka prison. Tegan sends lots of things to lots of people, letters, cards, poems, stories. She's really incredibly gifted in this whole creative area. And not this Friday, but the Friday before, I got a regular thing that happens is I look and there in the post is this a letter from Tegan or a lovely card, you know, thanking me and just they're just beautiful. So this was the poem that she sent me and I actually would like to read it to you this morning. I've asked her permission to be able to do this and she said, yep, you go right ahead. It's called Goodbye Meth. The time has come, my faithful friend, to say goodbye. This is the end. For many years you were by my side to mask the tears I tried to hide. In the beginning we had lots of fun. You were only there when the weekend began. But over time you moved on in and corrupted me to commit crime and sin. In a very short space, my life did fall. Jobs, homes, cars, friends, I lost it all. The spiral down just gathered speed that matched my addiction to you, my need. To stop the pain, you didn't do the job. All my emotional strength, you did rob. In trying to isolate, I hurt those I love. I felt lost and confused, no help from above. I see clearly now that I gave you all the power. I was merely a passenger until the final hour. My saving grace was the Lord didn't fail, as any attempt to kick you out did continually fail. For over 2 years I fought hard and long and rediscovered without you that life is a song. Never again will I let you back into my life. Never again will you cause me trauma and strife. I'm so much stronger than I ever really knew, and now can see why I turned to you. But I'm armed and dangerous. Look out, world. My positive plans are going to be unfurled. I've learnt healthy ways to deal with grief, and not needing you is such a relief. I have skills and support from people who care, and I accept this life challenge, this new world, this dare. Starting from scratch is such an exciting idea. I can create my new life, even start a new career. I want to make my family and loved ones proud of the woman who survived and escaped the cloud. You really are evil, and I am happy to say that today from you I am walking away. Hello, world. Down the bottom it says this, and this is not to in any way boast about myself, but the reason I want to read it is because it is an example of what happens when you invest in others. Down the bottom she says, Bethwyn, you're a big part of why I'm doing better today, so thank you. That's what keeps my fire going. What I have found is that what energizes me and keeps my spiritual fire alive is to invest in other people's lives and be part of their journey where God turns their graves into a garden, just like he's done with Tegan and with Steve. You know, things may not seem to go the way we expect, but God's landscaping plan for our garden is a far more superior blueprint to anything we could ever develop. And I used to be a school teacher, and I'm always into visual examples. And so we're having some technical difficulties, which Richard is fixing as we speak, because when we tried this on Friday, of course, it worked magnificently well. But as you can see, Richard's now a real life fire, and he's lifting them up very high. And if you stay on for the next service, he will have mastered it. But what that represents, of course, is a fire burning, flames burning. And this morning, my heart's desire is that you would take one of these logs and you will put it on your fire. Yeah? I can't do that for you, but I can cheer you on.